last couple of days we were interpreting very briefly the reason why the parasha starts with a double way of expressing that Yitzchak is the son of Abraham. Once by saying that Yitzchak is the son of Abraham, and right after that, that Abraham gave birth to Yitzchak. So we gave a few interpretations and a few commentaries and some ways to think about it. But right after that, it says that Rivka was barren, and Yitzchak went and prayed, and up she got pregnant right away. First of all, Bechlal, there's a question, why is it saying that only Rivka was barren? Yitzchak was barren too. Not barren, how do you say? Sterile. He was akar also. But nevertheless, it says that right away he prayed, and the second that he prayed, whoop, miraculously she got pregnant. And how come she prayed so long and she couldn't get pregnant? So first of all, there's one commentary that explains that she was actually not barren, Rivka. And if you remember, we talked about it a few weeks ago when we were learning about Sarah, and when she was called Sarai, and it was changed to Sarah because the hey is a female letter, and the letter that represents the fertility, so she couldn't get pregnant, Sarai, because she was missing the hey. And same thing now we're going to see with Rachel. Rachel doesn't have a hey. And what does Rachel do? Then Rachel takes a maidservant, Zilpah, and she took her hay, because Bilhah is written with two hays, therefore she was able to get pregnant. But nevertheless, it says that Rivka wasn't even barren. Rather, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it says in the Talmud, why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu made all the forefathers and matriarchs barren? Nitava Kadosh Baruch Hu l'tfilatan shel tzadikim. The Kadosh Baruch Hu has a desire to hear the prayer of a tzadik. If you pray with your whole heart, Hashem loves that. So Hashem says, if I'm going to give Rivka now a child, she's going to stop praying. And the Zohar says that every time that she prayed, all the barren women in the generation got pregnant. So we have to understand that we, when we pray, if it's a real prayer, then Hashem loves that. It says in the Talmud, I think it's in Masechet Megillah, that since the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, all the gates of Shamayim were, for prayers were closed, only the gate of tears. Which means when you cry with tears, you break all the barriers in Shamayim. So what is called Lev Nishbar V'Nidke, when you really pray, when you're not praying, you know, when everything is good, you don't really pray from your heart. When tomorrow is that court case, you pray from every blood cell of your body, you pray. And if Chas V'Shalom, something is serious going on, you pray with all your kishkes. So same thing here, Kadosh Baruch Hu loves our sincere prayer. But nevertheless, let's see a little bit what the Zohar says about the fact that Yitzchak and Rivka, they prayed, and right away she got pregnant. Patach Rabbi Yehuda Abatre. After what Rabbi Yitzchak said, what we learned before, then Rabbi Yehuda continues, and he also wanted to say, and by the way, we jumped a few pages, so if you want to follow, we're on page Kuf Lamed Zayin, 137a. Patach Rabbi Yehuda Abatre, Rabbi Yehuda started talking after what Rabbi Yitzchak said. Ve'amar, and he says, and he started to explaining also about this verse, Vaye'atar Yitzchak leHashem, lenochach ishto. And Yitzchak said, okay, this is enough. You're praying 20 years, she didn't get pregnant, Rivka. So Yitzchak said, okay, enough is enough. And he turned around to Hashem for the fact that his wife was not having pregnant. So he asks Rabbi Yehuda, Mahu vayatar? Why does he say the word vayatar? Should say vayitpalal or vayitpalel? He prayed. Vayatar. Vayatar means that I approached and so to say questioned. Just say he prayed. He also prayed. Why doesn't it say that he prayed? And he says, Dekarim lekarbana vetzalei Allah. You know what he said? What he did, Yitzchak? He didn't even pray. He gave a korban. He gave a sacrifice, and then he prayed on Rivka. He didn't pray for himself, give me a child, why don't my wife? So he first of all gave a sacrifice, and then he prayed for about his wife. And this is a commentary here by the Ramak, and he says that Rabbi Yehuda, Piresh Milat Vayatar, this is Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, and he says, this is taken from a verse from the book of Yechezkel, chapter 8, verse 11, where he says, Ve'atar anan haketoret. And the smoke, the cloud of the incense, Ve'atar, it was approached to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Dehainu, Inyan ribuy ashan hakorban, because there was a lot of smoke coming from the korban, from the sacrifice. Veribuy hevel hayotze me'apeh, and a lot of words coming from the praying. That's what caused the Kadosh Baruch Hu to, okay, I'll take it. Saying in other words, something very, very interesting here, that when you want the prayer to take place, it has to be a korban too, it has to be a sacrifice. So some people, they will give some charity before the prayer. That's for them a korban, to say goodbye to 10 shekels. That's it's a big sacrifice right now. And I'm not saying it in a joke. I'm saying this is it's a sacrifice. I need that money. I can use that money right now. Some people, their korban, their sacrifice is to even to show up. I'm sacrificing my time right now. I could be out there. I can do all sorts of things. Nevertheless, it has to be a korban, a sacrifice. And also the hevel peh, the breath coming out of the mouth, the talk. That's how you do it. Bechlal, we also know that the korban, the word korban, is translated as a sacrifice, but it comes from the root, from the shorosh, kiruv, karov. That when I sacrifice an animal on the altar, it brings me closer to Hashem. Anything that I will sacrifice in my life, I sometimes sacrifice my time, my money, and so forth. It just brings me closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's called lashon kiruv, closer. Now he's asking in the Zohar, Uma karban akariv, which type of sacrifice did he give? And he says, Ola kariv. He gave a korban that is called Ola. Ola means to elevate. There's different types of korbanot. One korban, for example, when a person will sin, it's a korban called chatat, to atone for the sin. There's korban toda, a sacrifice, an offering of thanks. There's different types of korbanot. Mezrat Hashem, I think I promised you once that we'll do a class about the mystical meaning of the korbanot, why one is called a chatat, one is called ola, one is called toda, and so forth. But nevertheless, it says that he gave a korban that is called ola. Ola means voluntarily sacrifice. You don't have to. And he just gave it. Vehainu, lefi dichtiv, as it says, vayater lo Hashem. How do we understand from that? That the Kadosh Baruch Hu turned around right to him. He, so to say, called Hashem, and Hashem right away turned around. And he says, Vayater lo Hashem. He approached Hashem, and Hashem right away turned around him. Sometimes you can go to a person, and the person is not so fond of you. Or you maybe annoy that person, or something like that. And you approach the person, and you talk to him. He's not looking. He's not looking to your direction even. You know that person is upset. But sometimes you'll approach a person, you'll say, excuse me, yes, how can I help you? So this is the same idea. Yitzchak turned around to Hashem. Hashem right away turned around. Vayater lo chazra, he turned around to him. And the proof here, first of all, it was done because he gave a sacrifice. And the proof to that is, because it says, Ktiv ha'cha vayater lo Hashem. Because it says right away that Hashem answered right away. Yitzchak opened his mouth and Hashem said, yeah, I'm here. Boy, how can I help you? And he says, Uchtiv, Hatam, Bedavid HaMelech Shaita Magifa. It says, when David HaMelech, when there was a plague, David HaMelech did? This can be found in the book of Shmuel, Shmuel Bet, chapter 24. And he says, Vaya'al Olot Veshlamim. Right away when there was a plague, what did David HaMelech says? Right away he put on the altar a sacrifice that are called Olot, and type of sacrifice is called Shlamim. And right away, what does it say? Vayater Hashem la'aretz. Right away, Hashem acknowledged the sacrifices. And the verse continues and says, Vate'atzer ha'magefa amal Yisrael. Right away, let's stop the plague. Ma lehalan korban? Afkan korban. Same thing that we're talking here in the book of Shmuel, there was a korban that saved the plague. Also here, there's a korban, a sacrifice. Sheitzchak ikriv korban kadesh tefilato titkabel beratzon. That Yitzchak gave a sacrifice that his prayer should be accepted willingly, lovingly, and right away. Or more, what did he say? Ktiv, and it says vayatar Yitzchak. Again, when it says vayatar Yitzchak, that Yitzchak turned to Hashem, and right away it says right back. Uchtiv vayater lo. The Kadosh Baruch Hu said right away, yes. How can I help you? Another explanation. The nafak esha mila'ila. Right away when Yitzchak did that, fire came from above, and the fire consumed the korban. How do you know that the korban is accepted by Hashem? That fire came down from the heavens. Put now a korban on a barbecue, nothing's going to happen, I promise you. No fire is going to come from the heavens. And there are many people who try that. I'm not talking in our generation, but in order to place a korban, a sacrifice, Hashem has to tell you where to do it. You can't just do it whatever you want. But nevertheless, every time that the korban was accepted by Hashem, we know that fire came from the heavens and consumed the animal.
What does that mean? Like a
fire, yeah? A flame sky. Came down from the sky, yeah, and consumed it. It said in Beit HaMikdash, one of the miracles that people would see there, imagine, now, I don't know if you ever saw a design or a picture of Beit HaMikdash. When I became observant, I thought Beit HaMikdash. It said altar. I thought it was, you know, a little barbecue and somebody, the coin is like, you know how huge the Mizbeach is? It's the height of about 2.5 floors. You know, the ramp going up, the kevish. It's like a ramp, you heard, trucks can go up there. You know, you can sometimes have 20, 30 kohanim on the Mizbeach. It's huge. The Mizbeach is massive. So nevertheless, one of the miracles was that fire would come out from the sky in the shape of a lion and consume the korbanot. It was a miraculous thing. I mean, I can't wait to see how this looks. Very soon we'll be in Beit HaMikdash. We have an inn. David is going to invite us. He has a free pass, a coin. He's going to let us come and see the show in his shift. And I mean, to see such a thing, this is not a... People think it's some type of weird thing, slaughtering, skinning, blood flying everywhere. I think it's something that is very hard just to understand what it means. But nevertheless, it says also here, how do we know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu right away listened to the prayer? It says, Ve'yater lo Hashem. Hashem right away turned to him. How? By fire coming from the sky and consuming the sacrifice. Lekivla esha diltata. Why is that happening? Because when there's fire coming from below, if it's acceptable, fire will come from above, and the fires, they get attached together. Another thing, davar acher. Another way of explaining it, Vayatar Yitzchak, when Yitzchak turned around to Hashem, meaning that he prayed, he made a prayer. I mean, after all, we know Avraham Avinu, he compiled and established Tfilat Shacharit, Yitzchak Tfilat Mincha, and Yaakov Tfilat Arvit. So it says here that he made a certain prayer, a prayer of Yitzchak. And with that, Vechatar Chatira Le'ela Legabe Mazala Al Benin. His prayer was so powerful that it went, so to say, penetrating through all the firmaments, all the way to the place where it's called Mazal. Mazal, I'm very careful from translating it as luck, because it's not luck. People think Mazal is luck. So this is not the type of luck that when you go to Vegas and you need luck and you know, give me the 7. This is not Mazal. Mazal, rather, I once explained it in depth. Mazal is the tool that Hashem gives you in order to fulfill your mission in this world. So we call it Mazal. A Mazal is the acronym of Makom Zman Limud, the place where Hashem places you, Zman, the time, and the Limud is what do you derive out of it, what do you learn there, how much Torah you apply there. But nevertheless, the Mazal is where the information, so to say, of the fate of what's going to happen, that's where it's sitting there. So he was able to pray such profound prayer that it went all the way up to the Mazal. And what did he do there? V'chatar chatira le'ela legabe mazala al benin. He was able to go all the way up to the Mazal. Shel hadikna. He went there to the place of the Ave'em, to the, so to say, the form of the mother and the father in the world above, the Ha'abahu Atar Talian Bnin. In that specific place, in such an exalted and lofty place in the world above, is where the dependency for kids, when somebody doesn't have a kid, he needs to reach all the way to that place, was the unity between the mother and the father. Why? כי בזה המקום תלוי לדעת אל הבנים. In that specific place in the world above is the fertility, that's where it's depending on. And the proof to that, it says, דכתיב, it says, ויתפלל על השם. Who did that? We know about another lady, also coming from the book of Shmuel. Her name is Hannah. This can be found in the first book of Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph, right in the beginning, and there was talking about a lady that couldn't have kids. What does it say? Vatitpalel al Hashem, that she prayed to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And what did Hana, what did she pray for? She prayed to have a child. And it says that she prayed in such a way that she was able to bring down a son, mimazal ha'elyon, from the place where this mazal, but the supreme mazal is dwelling. Where is it dwelling? Hayu midikna de avem. Dikna is the beard, but this is more referring to, don't picture now a beard, rather picture the dukan, the image of the mother and the father, the supreme mother and father. One can interpret it as Chochma and Bina, but also where the Sfirot are in unity and they cause to bring a Shefa into the world. Specifically, Hannah was able to reach to such a high level that is called Dikna de Avem, Shu Lemala al Zeir Anpin. It's above the Zeir Anpin. Therefore, I said there's difference of opinion. One will interpret it that it's referring to Chochma and Bina. Chochma and Bina are also called Avem, mother and father. When there's a unity between the Chochma and the Bina, then right away it births kids. So, it says here, "Uchaden v'yater lo Hashem," and the same here, same thing here, that Hashem acknowledges his prayer, and he explains, "Al tikrei v'yater lo, ela v'yechater lo." Don't read it as v'yater, that Hashem turned around. Rather, v'yechater, instead of a ayin, he switched it to a chet. That le'ater is to turn around to him. Yechater is to kind of like cut through all the way out to the other side. Now, why specifically the chet and the ayin? Ki otiyot aleph, chet, hey, ayin, mitchalfot. The letters of aleph and chet, hey, and ayin, they switch with each other. There's a lot of words in Aramaic that it sounds exactly like Hebrew, just switches a letter. Meaning, chatira chatar lekutshabrichu vekabile. Chatira, the chatira is one way of saying lachtor is in English is to like when you go like this when you're rowing a boat, how you call it?
Paddle.
Rowing. How do you say row the boat?
Row like this.
Yeah. So what does the paddle do? I put it in the water and I cut through the water. And what is that? What's the result? It pushes me forward. This is chatira, that I so to say cut through something. Like a paddle, but it moves me forward. This is the idea of chatira. So he says here, because this chatira, this movement that Kadosh Baruch Hu did for him, and he made the prayer come closer to him. Uchedein v'tahar Rivka ishto. And this is the same thing when it says that his wife got pregnant. This is above the way of nature. So he says here, in other words, that when I go out of my way and I pray in such a profound way, and again, not praying from my because I want to finish with it, praying from my kishke, then the Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he accepts the prayer, then he, so to say, elevates you. Like just imagine the emotion of rowing a boat. I mean, if you sit on the floor, it's not going to work, the rowing. It only works on the water. So, but when you do the movement, then it pushes you forward. If you do the movement like that, it will push you backwards. Saying in other words, that the prayer was able to get him closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now he continues, Tachazi, come and see, Esrin shnin it ishtahi itzchakim itate, velo olidat ad detzalid zelote. Come and see, you know, there's something very extreme here. 20 years, Rivka didn't get pregnant. 20 years. Now you move your tuchas, Yitzchak. Where were you 20 years? Why couldn't you pray before that? 20 years he waited for his wife for him to pray. Ve'az tahar Rivka ishto. Only when Yitzchak, so to say, stepped forward, then she got pregnant. Rashi says, based on the pshat, that Rivka's prayers were not accepted because she's a daughter of a rasha. And Yitzchak's prayer was accepted because he's a son of a tzaddik. Now this is the pshat here. Now let's see what the Zohar says. Why did Yitzchak wait 20 years? Why you couldn't see the poor girl is in agony. She can't get pregnant. Begin the kutsha brichu itra'i betzloton de tzadikaya. Why? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu, like I said, has a desire and he likes to hear the prayer of the tzaddik. B'shata deva'an kametz loton al madit teru. At the time when the person is praying for what they need in their prayer, my taima, what is the reason for that? Begin the itrabe veitosaf revut kutsha brichu lechol mandit itztarech. The reason is that every time that they pray, then more shefa, more abundance is added in the world above. And this is called Shemen Mishchat Kodesh, the ointment or the oil that is rubbed in, and is called Mishchat Kodesh, the holy ointment. Lechol mi shetzarich, lechol to whoever he needs. Meaning that when the tzaddik prays for himself, he doesn't pray for himself, he prays for anyone who needs it. Like I said before, the Rivka, Kadosh Baruch Hu so much loved her prayer. It was so sincere, so true, so real, that all the other barren women would get pregnant. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, well, I'm going to stop her now from praying. She's praying for everybody. Betzloton tzadikaya, by the prayers of the tzadikim. Why? Because in the prayers of tzadikim, they're adding so much more power in the world above, that because of that, it's able to affect everybody around them and whoever he needs. Now, we can derive it that first of all, we're talking about the true tzaddik. That when the true tzaddik prays, then he prays for everybody. He doesn't pray for himself. But nevertheless, each and every one of us has a spark. I mean, the Mishnah says, "Va'amech kulam tzaddikim." I also have some type of a spark in me that I have the potential of being a tzaddik. So when I pray, saying in other words, you pray for your fellow friend. The Talmud says, "Amitpalel chavero ne'enat tchila." You pray for somebody else, you will get answered before that. So something practically to learn from that is that when I pray, my prayers should not be able, oh, right now I need this thing to happen to me. You pray for everybody around you, and then you get answered much, much faster.
But the prayer should come from your heart. You shouldn't pray for someone else because you want to be answered first. I mean, it should be a genuine
exactly,
prayer.
Of course. It has to be a genuine prayer.
I mean, you know.
Of course, when the prayer is not genuine, it doesn't even start even going up. If you pray because of agenda or because you need something, it's not going to be heard in the world above.
Right.
We do know, I explained that already, that between every world, there's a Beit Din. It's called the Sanhedrin. There's 71 judges there, between the world of Asiyah to Yetzirah, between Yetzirah to Bria, between Bria and Tzelut, and they filter the prayers. And if the prayer is not valid, it's not going to go up even. Of course the prayer has to be completely, completely genuine. And when I see somebody else suffering, instead of laughing, chas v'shalom, or putting them down, I have to see their sorrow and their need and pray for them. And b'emet, when you pray for somebody else, then you have a greater potential to be answered faster. Let's just do one more paragraph and then we're done. Ta chazi, come and see. Avraham lo tzale keme kutsha brichu, deiten le bnin, af al gav de sara kara havat. Now we just learned that Rivka couldn't get pregnant. At some point, Yitzchak said, okay, enough is enough, and let me pray. And he prayed not for himself to get a son, he prayed for my poor wife, Hashem, have some mercy on my wife, let her have a child, and so forth. He comes and says here, you know what? This is not so far away from another story about somebody not praying for somebody. And we see that Avraham Avinu didn't pray for a child. Doesn't say that Avraham Avinu prayed for a child, and he didn't pray for Sarah also, even though he knew that he doesn't have a child, and he knew that Sarah is Akara, that she's barren. How come did Avraham Avinu didn't pray to the Kadosh Baruch Hu that he should give him kids, even though he knew very well that Sarah was barren? Why? Lefi shekvar haya muvtach shemehem yitzu klal Yisrael. The reason why Avraham Avinu didn't pray, because he already was promised that from him the entire nation of Israel will come out. So Avraham Avinu said, so why should I pray? I already got the promise. I have trust in Hashem. Hashem is going to send it. I need to pray now. I'll go do other things.
Wasn't there a
family
where he...
No, it says here right after, right here, he had 100% bitachon in Hashem that he will do a miracle. That's why he didn't even question. Every test that the Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, right away he said, no, Kadosh Baruch Hu told me there's going to be. That's why there was a great conflict in the Akedah, because he was like, wait a minute, you just told me that we be Tzchaki kara lechazara. How if I'm going to kill him now, what's going to happen? That's the greatness of Avraham Avinu. They didn't even question. Hashem told me, he knows what he's doing. This is a very high level of bitachon. It says, "Lachen batach b'kadosh baruch hu she'aseh lahem nes." He had a great trust in Hashem. Afilu she'Sara hayta akara v'yu lahem banim. Even though Sarah was completely barren, she didn't even have a womb. Ve'itema, and if you would ask, ha'aktiv, but it says that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Avraham Avinu said to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Hen li lo natata zara." Ah, so maybe this is the prayer of that Avraham Avinu said. The prayers of tzaddikim is not necessarily, you know, in length. Sometimes it's one word. And we find here in the Torah that the Avraham said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Hen li lo natata zera." Here you didn't give me an offspring. That it seems like from this pasuk that Avraham Avinu did pray for a child.
Like he's challenging Hashem.
I don't know about a complaint, but nevertheless, it says here, "Shenira keilu itpalel ten lizera." It seems like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like Avraham Avinu says, "Listen, you know, I need holy chutzpah." And what is the answer? "Hahu lav begin selota hava." He says, "No, he didn't say it in a form of a prayer." Ela, but rather, keman de mishta'e kame mare. Rather, by somebody who's telling something on the heart to his teacher. Sometimes you come to your rabbi, your teacher, your friend, and you say, "Listen, you know, situation is like this and like that." And he was, so to say, pouring his heart. No, Zohar says he didn't pray, Avraham Avinu didn't pray. Rather, he was just pouring his heart to Hashem that he doesn't have a child. Aval, but Yitzchak tzale alitate. But Yitzchak actually prayed not only on his wife to have rachamim, mercy on his wife, but that he should have boys from her. But he didn't pray on himself. He prayed it for Rivka. He had rachamim and mercy for Rivka. Begin deha ihu hava yada beraza de chokhmata de Yaakov zamin lemepak minet betresan shivtin. Why? Because Yitzchak knew in the wisdom, in the secret of wisdom, Yitzchak had the Ruach HaKodesh, that from Yaakov is going to come 12 tribes. Therefore, he didn't pray about himself. He knew he's going to have kids. He didn't see necessarily if it's coming from Rivka, but he knew he's having kids, because he knew for sure that he's going to have a boy Yaakov, and from him will come the 12 tribes. Avala yada I behai ita o beachara. But he didn't know if the boys will be from Rivka, maybe from another woman. He didn't know where the boys are coming from. He just knew he's going to have boys. Ve'alda, therefore he prayed on Rivka. What does it say? Lenochach ishto. He prayed because of her. He says, I'm not the problem. She's the problem. Of course, I'm saying it in a not nice way. But Yitzchak prayed on Rivka because he says, I'm for sure having a kid. I saw Beruach HaKodesh Yaakov, and I saw in the Holy Spirit in the Ruach HaKodesh that he's going to have 12 Shvatim. Obviously, the problem is with her, because maybe it's going to come from a different woman. Meaning, why did he say Lenochach Ishto, when he saw the presence of his wife? Klomar, Lefishi Ishto, since it's his wife, Lachen Yiyu Otam Abanim Asher Lo Mimena. Therefore, because it's his wife, then he understood that the kids, the boys, should come from her. Velo Lenochach Rivka. Saying, in other words, that he didn't pray specifically on Rivka, because then it would sound like he's praying for the fact that she's barren and he's praying for her to be cured. Rather, he prayed for the fact that she should have the boys with him. Saying, in other words, "Ki az haya mashma shehitpalel al hakarut Rivka." If he would pray just for Rivka, then he would be praying for her being barren. "Shetitrape," that she should be healed. "Sheyu la banim velav dafka mimeno." If he would pray for her, then could be that he would pray for her to have boys, but not from him. So therefore, he prayed for the fact that she's barren and she should have kids coming out from him. I'm going to leave it here. I know. Let's do very quickly You don't know. We'll look at it tomorrow. It's a little bit longer. It comes and explains very, very interestingly why. You know, I'm just going to read the first paragraph. It will be like the promo for tomorrow, and then we'll do the rest tomorrow. Amar Ahu Ravya Bre de Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, posed the question after listening to this. I hachi amai la rachim leYitzchak leYaakov kol kach kemo leEsav. If so, after finally they had kids, okay, they had Yitzchak, they had Esav and Yaakov. He says here that it says in the Torah that Yitzchak loved Esav because Tzayid Bepiv was a tachman, was a liar, and he knew how to lie. And Rivka, she loved Yaakov because he was a yeshiva bacher. He had a nice hat and a black suit, and he was learning every day. So the son of Rabbi Yehuda asking, why did Yitzchak like Esav and Rivka Yaakov? Why didn't Yitzchak, what, Yitzchak didn't like Yaakov? Why is the Torah telling me that Yitzchak liked Esav and Rivka liked Yaakov? Yitzchak didn't like Yaakov? So that we're going to learn tomorrow. What does the Zohar have to say about that? And why Bemet such an extreme? Why would Yitzchak not, at least the Torah says, why didn't he like Yaakov? He should like them equally. Why does it say that? Nevertheless, that will continue really tomorrow. It's a little bit longer. But just to conclude what we learned today, very simple, because the point is what we're learning is to apply something practical in my life. It's not just to read out of the text. Is that even a tzaddik has to pray, and even tzaddikim are lacking certain things. Like we just said before with the class, what did we say? That the remedy of this month is if you don't complain from tonight till the last candle of Hanukkah, then Rabbi Chaim Palaji says you're going to see a huge miracle in your life.
If you don't complain.
Before you came, we explained that there's a very great remedy from a great mekubal. His name is Rabbi Chaim Palaji. And he lived about 200 plus years ago. He was originally from Turkey, I believe. But nevertheless, it was a great mekubal. And he says that if a person from tonight, Rosh Chodesh Kislev, till the last candle of Hanukkah, will not complain, he will rather thank Hashem, appreciate and praise Hashem, will see a huge merit, a huge miracle in his life. So what we want to take from that even a tzaddik, look at the tzaddikim, our forefathers, barren for years. Rivka couldn't have a child for 20 years. Sarah, look how many years she couldn't have a child. Look what they went through. How did they solve problems? With prayer. How was their prayer accepted? With a korban, with a sacrifice. So when I see that I'm lacking something in my life, first of all and most important, don't even think of complaining. And thank Hashem for everything that Hashem does for you. Everything that Hashem does is for the good. Kol man da rachman ha'avid letav avid. Everything that Hashem does, He does it for the good. And more than that, when you actually thank Hashem for all these situations, then Hashem will show you how good it is. But more than that, I have to understand that it has to be a big part of my life is praying, and another big part of my life is the sacrifices. Now, we don't have physical sacrifices right now, so I have to find out one in my life I can sacrifice. Maybe sacrifice half an hour of my time to volunteer and help somebody. Maybe I should sacrifice some of my money and instead of going to a nice restaurant, then give that money to a poor family. I have to find out in my life, needless to say, how do I pray? Prayer is one of the pillars of our life as a Jew. And I have to find out what is the sacrifice in my life that because of that my prayers will be answered. And sometimes, you know what is the sacrifice? Just to be appreciative and not to complain. רבי חנניה בן עקשיא אומר, רצה הקדוש ברוך הוא לזכות את ישראל, לפיכך הרבה להם תורה ומצוות שנאמר, אדוני חפץ למען צדקו, יגדיל תורה ויאדיר.